Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will begin a short series going through the book of Proverbs to discover and apply practical truths on parenting.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and come and live, come and grow.
Less than 2 weeks ago, there was a horrific shooting in Las Vegas. It caused a lot of consternation for a lot of people, but it was personal for me. My oldest son was there, and by God's grace, he came home alive. But it made me think about what I've been hearing a lot lately, especially from older people, who often are bemoaning how concerned they are about the world we live in and how awful it will be to raise kids in the future. I often hear people say, I wouldn't want to raise kids in a world like this. Well, my wife and I have four grown children, and so far, four grandkids. By the way, grandkids are way more fun. But anyway, I want them to have a lot more. To answer the question, who would want to raise kids in a world like this? I would. I would love to. What an opportunity. There's nothing like a dark world to be able to be salt and light. When your culture is tasteless and ever growing darker, what joy we have in raising kids who can be salt and light. During the Reformation, there was a motto, after darkness, I hope for light, or sometimes they shorten it to just after darkness, light. And that's what the Bible presents. To those who are believers, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who follow God, life is positive. Life is opportunities. Life is exciting. Psalm 127 summarizes that about the blessing of having children. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Let me ask you a couple questions. Is that still true? Is God still sovereign? Are children still a gift of the Lord? And did God give us kids at this time in this culture according to his sovereign will? Are we blessed to have them? And the answer to those questions is yes, 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 and yes. Isn't it possible that every generation has been concerned about the future prospects of their children and their grandchildren? I think it is. I think every generation has looked to the future with a negative viewpoint instead of hope. And I want to submit to you that there is hope, and in these dark days, there is guidance on how we can raise our children in an evil world. To whom do we look for guidance? Society would answer that question and say, we need to look to a winner, because society loves winners. We love to hear from the person that had all of their children turn out perfect. We somehow believe that the parents must have done everything right to get such results. And if we could only do it the same way, then our kids would be guaranteed to be good too. But what about the people who didn't have all their children turn out perfect? Is it possible they also have great things to teach us? Well, if you don't believe that's true, then please stop listening, because for the next few weeks, we're going to learn from an imperfect parent in the book of Proverbs. His name is Solomon. Proverbs was written by Solomon, and he was the son of King David. Did David do everything perfectly in raising his kids? Did Solomon turn out perfect? Did all of Solomon's kids turn out perfect? No. But Solomon recorded God's wisdom for us in this book, even if he and his children didn't live it out perfectly. Now note, if you don't have children, please don't stop listening. These messages still apply to you. There are principles you can apply to your life and perhaps to your children in the future. So keep listening. I want to give you a disclaimer. When I was young, I didn't have any children, and I knew everything about parenting. I knew exactly what everyone was doing right and or wrong in the way they raised their kids. Back then, I could have written some great books on parenting. When I got older and had young children, I knew almost everything about raising kids. Now that I'm even older, my children are adults and I have four grandchildren, I know a lot less than I used to. Parenting isn't as simple as it used to be. There have been and will continue to be a lot of incredibly difficult moments in parenting that have stretched my wife and I to the limit. So many times we have come to the end of our understanding and have cried out to God for wisdom, understanding, and even strength to go on. But there are three things I'm absolutely sure about in parenting. Number one, I desperately need the Lord and His sovereign grace in the lives of my children. Number two, I desperately need God's wisdom every moment of every day I live as a parent. And can I add, even especially now when I'm parenting adults? And number three, God's wisdom is available through His word and prayer. So let's look to God's word for wisdom with wee ones. First, let's contrast God's wisdom with worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom makes a lot of incorrect assumptions about life and especially about kids. Now, when I say worldly wisdom, I'm referring to anything that disagrees with the Bible. It may come from a licensed family counselor or it may come from an Uber driver, but it's not coming from God. It's worldly wisdom. Read James 4, verses 13 through 18. And see the contrast. Worldly wisdom often makes assumptions about parenting. Let me give you a few. Number one, worldly wisdom assumes that children are born a blank slate and we influence them to be either good or bad. Number two, worldly wisdom assumes that if we would follow the latest study on child development, we too could raise great kids. Number three, worldly wisdom assumes that with the right parents doing the right things, any child could turn out right. Well, worldly wisdom in parenting has crept into the church, and it often produces one of two things: either guilt for how we, of all people, have screwed up our children, or glory and pride because we think we did it right and that's why our kids are so wonderful. Guilt because we didn't do enough, or we did too much, or our kids didn't turn out. Glory because we did everything perfect, our kids are perfect, and we should write books and do traveling seminars. Well, unfortunately, both guilt and glory show up during this part of the year when people send out their Christmas pictures and letters. As I read these letters, I'm often amazed at how accomplished everyone's children are. They are the most brilliant, socially adjusted, servant-hearted, faithful children on the planet. And whenever they come back each day from their morning walk on water, they bless everyone they meet and never cause any stress to their parents whatsoever. Maybe there's a cynic in me, but I would love to be a fly on the wall in their homes to see what those kids are really like. Misguided worldly wisdom leads to extremes in attitude and behavior. You can either become a fanatic or a fatalist. The fanatic will work 24 hours a day to do everything perfectly to raise their kids. Believe that if they did it all right, they would guarantee the salvation and sanctification of their children. They believe it's all up to the parents. This ultimately leads to either guilt or pride, depending on how your children turn out. Fatalism, on the other hand, leads to parents who think they have no responsibility for the spiritual life of the children as it falls entirely upon God and the child. This can lead to complacency and ultimately to disaster. What is the truth then? What does the Bible teach us? I believe we're going to discover that the truth is between the extremes. Hopefully, understanding the truth will relieve guilt on the one hand and inspire greater diligence in prayer on the other. Worldly wisdom's assumptions are not true. Children are not born a blank slate, and we'll see more of that in a moment. Child development models built on that foundation are inherently flawed, and they will come to faulty conclusions. And by the way, which model should you follow? These models often contradict one another. Even Dr. Benjamin Spock, the man who influenced a generation of parents, later wrote a mea culpa apologizing to America for misleading them with his wrong ideas on parenting. So if you're going to listen to the latest worldly wisdom, you may be listening to something built on a wrong foundation with faulty assumptions and wrong conclusions, no matter how wise it may sound to people today. Now let me say another thing. No parent does everything right. But even if we could, there is no guarantee that our children will turn out right. The Bible makes it very clear that godly people don't always have godly children. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. 13:1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Now, some would say, obviously, those parents weren't godly. But can I submit to you? If they weren't godly, then why are they upset that their child didn't turn out the right way? There are numerous examples in the scriptures of godly people who had ungodly children and ungodly people who had godly children. Just study Kings and Chronicles, and you'll see that the kings of Israel and Judah had that happen. Now, brace yourselves for what I'm about to say. Parents are not ultimately responsible for the decisions and choices of their children. Study Proverbs 1-9. The child is told repeatedly to listen, heed, obey, and keep the commandments of the parents. The premise is the parents can model, teach, and pray, but the child still has to choose which path he will take. A child of very wise and godly parents could indeed choose to be a fool. Isaac had Esau, Noah had Ham, Manoah had Samson, Eli had Hophni and Phinehas, David had Absalom, and Solomon had Rehoboam. Why do I say all of this? Because some of you out there are dealing with excessive guilt, and you're wondering what you did wrong because your child, at least at this point in his life, did not turn out right. I want to say to you, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe that child has just made foolish choices up till now, and maybe it's not too late. Derek Kidner, in his commentary on Proverbs, says this, "Many are the reminders, however, that even the best training cannot instill wisdom, but only encourage the choice to seek it. A son may be too opinionated to learn. A good home may produce an idler or a profligate. He may be rebel enough to despise, mock, or curse his parents, heartless enough to run through their money, and even to turn a widowed mother out of doors. While there are parents who have only themselves to thank for their shame, it is ultimately the man himself who must bear his own blame. For it is his attitude to wisdom, his consent given or withheld in face of temptation, which sets his course." And by the way, every one of those statements came from a verse in Proverbs. Parents are responsible for God for their role as parents, but children are responsible for God for their choices and their behavior. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are studying the book of Proverbs, discussing parenting. Fathers, according to Deuteronomy 24:16, shall not be put to death for their sons, nor shall sons be put to death for their fathers. Everyone shall be put to death for his own sin. Do you hear that? And read Ezekiel 18 sometime. In that chapter, the people of Israel wanted to blame their parents for all their problems. Why bother being good if we're going to be punished for the sins of our fathers, is what they were asking. In verse 3, God tells them, stop saying that. In verse 4, he says, each individual is responsible for God for their own sins. In verses 5-9, the righteous man will be blessed. In 10-13, the unrighteous child of the righteous man will be judged. And in 14-18, the righteous child of an unrighteous man will be blessed, but the unrighteous father will be judged. Do you see the point here? Verse 20 says, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Listen, my dear friends, as parents, we are responsible to parent, but our children will make their own choices, and they will be accountable to God for what they decide. And we can never use the past for an excuse for the present. We can't blame the deeds of our own parents on our own deeds. Bob Deffenbaugh, a commentator, wrote this, "No truth is more clearly or consistently taught in the Old Testament than this. While the parent is responsible for his own conduct and character, he is not ultimately responsible for the character of his child." Now, this truth can free us of false guilt, and at the same time motivate us to fulfill our role as biblical parents, leaving the ultimate results in the hands of our sovereign God. Well then, what does God's wisdom tell us about children in contrast to worldly wisdom's assumptions? Well, I want to give you 4 insights from godly wisdom in the Proverbs. There are many insights, but I've chosen 4 that at least have a relationship to what we've just seen. First of all, children are sinful. Children are not born a blank slate morally, but are actually born sinful. Psalm 51:5, "Behold," David writes, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." David says, at the moment of conception, I was by nature a sinner. Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth." And Proverbs makes it very clear that a child allowed to go his own way will choose foolishness over wisdom. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." So instead of the notion that a child is a blank slate that we can corrupt if we're not careful, the Bible makes it clear that children are born corrupt and will become more so without intervention. Children are born with sinful flesh. Oh yes, some of your children, I know your children, they were beautiful, and some of them have USDA choice flesh, but it's still flesh. It is sinful, it is rebellious. Therefore, their greatest need is salvation. They need to be born again. They need to have a new heart. But before we go back to guilt or glory, the next point is, not only are your children sinful, you cannot save your children. You can bring your children up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. You can faithfully point them to Jesus. You can communicate the gospel multiple times each day. You can share their personal testimony of how you are saved, but you cannot save your children. This is a sovereign work of God, as John 1:11 through 13 tells us, that they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God is the one who brings salvation to a person's heart. So we will not ultimately be held responsible for their salvation. We will be held responsible to be faithful parents. Jeremiah 13:23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil." Can a leopard change his spots? Can parents change the heart of their child? The answer is no. Children are sinful. Parents cannot save them. A third insight follows. Children are simple. The Hebrew word used often in Proverbs where you see this idea of simple means naive or foolish. Not every characteristic of a child is sinful as often as it is simple or naive. They're inexperienced, and as a result, they are vulnerable. Little kids don't have a concept of consequences. They'll chase a ball right out onto a busy street. They'll reach into a fire to get a piece of paper. They're too busy in the moment to give thought to the future. And simple people don't often think through the implications. They may see a kid who has everything given to them by their parents. They've got a new car, electronic gadgets, etc. But they don't see the other dynamics of that family. They may be envious of that family, not even knowing the consequences of that family. That's why they must be warned. They must be instructed as to the folly that is out there and the consequences they will experience should they go down the wrong road. Read Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. That's what it's all about. It's a running commentary on that. Watch out for certain people like gang members and prostitutes. You may pay an ultimate price if you go there. Proverbs 15:6, "Great wealth is in the house of the righteous, but trouble is in the income of the wicked." Proverbs 15:16 and 17, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred." Warning, warning, watch out. Don't go down that path. There are consequences. Children are sinful. We cannot save them. They are simple. And fourthly, children are childish. You see, what's the difference between simple and childish? Well, simple focuses primarily on their thought processes. Childish focuses on their behavioral tendencies. And so we call that childishness. What does that mean? Well, children are often impulsive. They act before they think. What they need to be taught is how to think before they act and consider consequences before they act. Children are often insensitive to danger. They think they're invincible, and in their minds, they throw caution to the wind. But they need to be taught that danger is real. Proverbs 5, verse 10 and 11. Proverbs 6, verse 10 and 11, and verse 32 and 33. Children, because they're childish, are easily influenced by others, and they can become very undisciplined. It's not natural for them to deny themselves pleasure. Proverbs 16:32 and Proverbs 21:17 and 20 and Proverbs 25:28 all talk about this. Undisciplined children need their parents to help them become disciplined, to train them, to require things of them, to give them chores, to hold them accountable, to make them get up at a certain time, all of those things to overcompensate for this issue of being undisciplined. And little children often don't appreciate parental discipline. Boy, I can sure remember that. Here I am giving it all I got, and my kids are looking at me like, what planet are you from? They don't appreciate it. They don't understand the benefit. They don't realize the long-term impact. Can I tell you what a joy it is now that my kids are adults? And although it's difficult with them because I can no longer just tell them what to do, I can give counsel. But when I see them now beginning to appreciate what we taught them, the accountability that we insisted upon, the things that we held them to, and we set the discipline standards for them, it's a blessing to see them now come and thank us for doing that. And the other thing with children is they have a flawed value system. Unfortunately, children will choose shiny things and money over wisdom. And we have to help them understand there's a time when you have to say no to stuff because you want to say yes to character, that your name is more important than things. Your reputation matters. And so we have to help our children overcome childishness. So what are we saying here? Well, our children need a lot of instructions. Would you agree? Where do we start? What do we teach them? What does Proverbs tell us are the most important things our kids need to learn? Well, for that, you got to come back next week. We'll talk about wisdom's instructions. But let me summarize with this. God is sovereign over all things at all times. And yes, children are still a blessing from the Lord, especially grandchildren. And if we have children now, or if our children have children in the future, it will be according to God's sovereign will and God's sovereign time in the culture that He fully understands. So go for it. Enjoy it. Stop approaching parenting in such a pessimistic manner and believe that God is going to use you and your family for His glory. Don't let worldly wisdom creep in and produce excessive guilt or pride. There are no guarantees. If you did everything right, that your children will always make right choices. So determine to do your part and leave the results in God's hands. And then go to the Word of God. Gain insights about your children and yourself. Find out what's really going on inside of them and inside of you. You'll discover that they are sinful. Only God can save them. They are simple. They are childish. What can you do? Study God's Word. See what your responsibilities are as a parent. Pray fervently that God would transform their hearts by His grace. Model for them a life motivated by God's grace. Demonstrate a conviction that living by faith and walking in obedience is the only way to go. Point them to Jesus as their only hope, and prepare them by example and exhortation to do the same thing for the next generation. Go for it. Enjoy parenting. See you next week.
You have been listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. Please join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. We have a fantastic children's program during the worship service and then Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. Pastor Paul is currently teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. For more information about our church, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can also listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. And please join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA as Pastor Paul will continue our study of Proverbs with the top 10 things we should teach our children.